listening to another Netcast production brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters at fancypantsgangsters.com. Because those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet.
Hey, what's happening? It's Dom.
I'm Dan.
And we're from Hardcore Crans.
This is David McQuain from the band Big D and the Kids Table.
Hey, we're Mustard Blood.
This is the Bad Commander from the Aquabat.
Hey, this is Outlaw Nation.
Hi, we're the Prize Fighters.
And I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, we're Midriff.
Hey, this is Mark from Green Room Rockers.
And we're Two Tone Runts.
We're the Secondhand Ska Kings.
This is Aaron Porter from MNSka.com. You are tuned in to the Flyover Ska Show.
The Flyover Ska Show.
Flyover Ska Show.
The Flyover Ska Show.
The Flyover Ska Show on Fancy Pants Gangsters.
Fancy Pants Gangsters.
Fancy Pants Gangsters.
Fancy Pants Gangsters.com.
Everybody, and welcome to the Flyover Ska Show, brought to you by the Minnesota Ska community at MNSka.com and the Fancy Pants Gangsters Podcast Network. At FancyPantsGangsters.com, I'd like to quick throw out a sponsor. Yes, our show actually has a sponsor now, which is pretty damn awesome. That sponsor is Copycats Media. I don't know if you guys know, but Copycats Media, they're kind of your one-stop shop. If you're an artist or a musician, you're trying to get your album out to the masses. And they offer a full line of services to musicians, including CD and DVD manufacturing, audio mastering, design services, in-house printing and packaging. Yes, they've got it all. And they have a special deal for listeners of this show. So all you have to do is mention the Flyover Ska Show, and Copycats Media is going to throw in 100 free 11x17 full-color posters. Just add it right to your order. So what are you waiting for? Get over to copycatsmedia.com. I'm your host, Courtney Close, and I am sitting here with reggae jam band John Wayne and the Pain.
Yo, what's happening? It's good to be here.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome to my house.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Nice house.
Thank you. Yeah, it's one of those things where all of a sudden I'm listening. You know, I'm one of those people that pay its attention to all the sort of reggae bands and ska bands. And I do a lot of work with MNSka.com. I do this podcast. And then out of nowhere, about a year or so ago, all of a sudden everybody and their brother is going, this John Wayne and the Pain group. They're everywhere. They're touring the country. They got, they're blowing up. They got CDs. They got albums out. And lo and behold, sure enough, there you guys are. This is your opportunity. I'm giving you guys the floor to kind of tell people what is the story. What is the John Wayne and the Pain story?
Okay. Well, yeah. First of all, thanks for having us.
Yeah. What's up?
We're glad to be here. So yeah, my name's John. I started the band back in 2005 with some songs I'd written. Didn't really have a clear vision of what we wanted to do or not do, but we knew we wanted to play music. So started writing some kind of reggae style songs. The jam band scene has always been a big influence. And then Chucky joined the band in 2008. And then basically since he's been in the band, we've been able to start doing a lot more stuff, touring nationally and playing some bigger shows in some of our favorite cities, pretty much all across the western half of the United States. And pretty much under the line, under the line of playing reggae mixed with funky jam. There's some ska in there, so I think it kind of fits good for this show.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And just kind of trying to make a positive message. Chuck's probably got a couple things to say about it.
Oh, well,
his
yeah.
His influences, maybe, or something.
Yeah, just joining up with John Wayne and the Pain, it was the band was already kind of toiling around in the cities area doing a couple of odds and ends and opened up for a band of mine a couple, two, three times. And I really liked the direction they were heading. So when I joined up with them, I just basically said this is pretty much what I want to do, and it would just seem like all the right musicians kind of came together on this project in this city, and that's just how it happened.
What were you doing prior to joining the group?
I was playing with another band at the time, actually a couple different groups.
Which ones?
Well, Inebriation was the main band at the time.
What kind of bands were those?
Inebriation, wow, that was kind of like a funk band.
Hip-hop.
Yeah, hip-hop, funk. So those were definitely some of my influences.
Some reggae, though, too.
Yeah, some
Chuck
reggae.
He's trying to push the reggae vibe in that band. You really can see it happening.
It really was.
Well, I don't know if you noticed, but, like, reggae is, it's one of those things where it kind of fits with everything, you know? And so you'll see it pop up in just about every genre of music. Musicians like yourself, like, you're able to kind of, you know, bring that to the table as far as, you know, reggae jam music. I mean, like, joining John Wayne and the Pain seemed like a no-brainer.
Yeah. For Chucky, hell yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even my past influences are, you know, jam bands, hip-hop bands, and then, of course, reggae. I've been into reggae since I was as long as I can remember, and it just all kind of came together with John Wayne. I seen he was doing jam style and mixing it with reggae, so
cool.
It just seemed to be a good fit. And then we got a percussion section. We got a...
Yeah, who we got sitting over there?
Yo, what's up? I'm Scotty Z.
Yo, what up? I'm T-Dog.
T-Dog?
what do you guys do in the band?
I play drums.
Percussion and keys.
Yeah.
Rounding out that percussion sound, all right.
Yeah, yeah. And then we joined the band a few months ago, both of us, so we're from the West Coast, I'm from San Diego, Terry's from L.A.
What are you guys doing here?
Yeah, right?
I've been up here since 2007. I came up here to go to McNally Smith for recording, and just kind of dove into the music scene up here, and I was playing with the band called The New Revolution, good friends of ours. Right now the reggae band from Minneapolis for about a year, you know, a couple of other groups, Roster McCabe, The Isles, and, you know, different kinds of bands, playing around, you know, playing around with genres and whatnot. But when I got into this band, it really, you know, I hit my element, you know, because coming from the West Coast, I grew up with a lot of the same influences that these guys have.
Right. In fact, when I was just getting into sort of Jamaican-influenced music, I felt like, you know, the West Coast knew what they were doing, and every time I, like, was putting a, you know, getting a CD, it turns out these guys are from, you know, Southern California. It's interesting. I always thought that that's where all the bands came from. So I'm curious. Like, you know, I know you came for McNally Smith. Did you think that you would find reggae up here in the, you know, the Great White North?
I really didn't know what to expect when I came up here. I spent some time here briefly before I came up here for school, and I realized how community-based the music scene was up here, which is very different from where I come from. But I mean, as far as reggae goes, I really had no idea that there was any sort of reggae scene up here or any sort of following. When I was first up here, I actually used to spread a lot of the names that I followed in the West Coast. You know, a lot of the bands that I support down there, I brought up here, and I started, you know, handing CDs out to my friends, bands like Slightly Stupid and, you know, obviously, you know, Sublime and Libby Stub All-Stars and all of these guys that have sort of paved the way for a lot of us in a sense. Really, to find what these guys were doing, it was really refreshing to see that they were repping their own style and kind of not even just playing reggae, but experimenting with a lot of other genres and styles. So that I really liked that aspect of this band.
Cool. Yeah, definitely. I just think I always find it amazing to see, like, I've always been in the Midwest. So it's always been, you know, this has always been my home. I've, you know, rarely ventured out. And it's amazing to me when all of a sudden I see people from, like, why would you leave warm, sunny California? You know, that sort of thing. But
Terry's got something to say about that. Terry just came here. Our new percussionist, Terry, we just picked him up in Orange County. He's been on tour with us ever since. So.
Oh, wow. How did that happen?
Actually, you know, John Wayne recorded their album at a studio that I was the house drummer for. And give some shout-outs to Louis Richards, who helped us with that.
Yeah.
And basically, I opened up for them with a friend of mine and then sat in with them at the same gig. And through that night, a jam until 5 in the morning afterwards. I think Scotty said something about, why don't you come do the next gig? And then it was go to the next gig. And then we had a band meeting.
Band meeting.
Well, they had a band meeting with me present. So, and kind of like I wasn't there, but I was. So, John
you just were
just said,
a bystander.
Yeah, John said, hey, I don't know if we have a budget to bring you on or not. I really don't think so. It doesn't look like it's going to work. And I said, cool, man. And the rest of the band were like, well, we can make it work, though. And John's like, well, if you guys want to make it work, I'm cool with it. And they said, yeah. So I jumped on board and loving it. I mean, I have no clue that there was a Minneapolis music scene at all. I mean, it blows LA's music scene away, really, in a lot of ways. I mean, there's less players here, but it's more communal, and mm-hmm. the music coming out of this place is just blowing up. It's amazing.
I find that really interesting. What about this music scene, and like, I guess, like, compare it to what you're used to? What do you enjoy about it?
I come from a different background. I've always auditioned and got into bands and been kind of a hired gun. I've never really done the actual band thing. And in LA, it's just about the cutthroat scene. It's all about, how am I going to get my next gig? Who am I going to one up? How am I going to play better than that person? It's just competition all the way down the road. I mean, no matter what you do, my friends would come to see me play and they weren't there to see us play and support us. They wanted to sit in and take my gig from me. And like here in Minneapolis, I mean, everybody supports each other. Everybody comes to everybody's gig just to build them up, mm-hmm. and to make them feel better and to right. show them support. And then everybody gets together outside of the music scene here. And it's just amazing. I mean, I've never seen so many friendships in a music scene ever. So
it's funny, but it seems so simple that mm-hmm. that is how, you know, music should be, you know, artists who are, you know, playing at each other's gigs should be supporting each other, you know, making the music scene greater because it's bigger than themselves,
right.
you know.
Yeah, big time.
And especially up here in the Midwest, I mean, we're not a big market. You know, a lot of times, big headliners will skip the Midwest entirely. They'll hit only the coasts down south. So I feel like going into it, a lot of the bands around here have had like a chip on their shoulder and were like, okay, screw what everyone else is doing around the country. We're going to just, you know, make our scene as cohesive as it be, you know?
Definitely. It's super cohesive.
I feel that. Yeah. And we wouldn't be shit without our fans either. So no. It's just...
Exactly.
It's like the fans, too, I feel like, you know, have a real love for the music that goes deep down to their core. And I feel that way about a lot of bands locally myself, that mm-hmm. I'll just go see their shows because I just want to. You know, because it's just
what a novel fun. Idea.
I know.
Going to see music you want to see.
Yeah, not for any like hidden reason or anything, just because I like music. You know,
we probably spend a good percentage of our time, even when we're not playing, just going and supporting all of the other bands that are in the same scene as us, or even not even in the same scene, but just working and grinding the same as we are in the mm-hmm. city. You know, and I feel like that's really important because they do the same for us, mm-hmm. and we're constantly bouncing ideas off each other and bouncing energy and. It's it keeps us all moving, you know.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, what are some bands, I don't know, in this area that you really feel are doing the same thing, doing the Lord's work like you guys?
Yeah. Yeah. Work. Some of the biggest names for me personally are Roster McCabe. They're working hard. Yeah, they're definitely. Touring hard. Mm-hmm. Shoeless Revolution is touring and working hard. Yep. You know, MJG is a kind of a management booking company out of Minneapolis that supports some of those bands that are really doing it. Mm-hmm. Meaning, like, they're working hard. They might not, like, be nationally, like, some huge band, but they're doing the hard work. Goulash.
Yeah.
They're good friends of ours. Yeah. Heatbox, for sure.
Yeah.
And those bands that are getting out and playing all those shows, to me, I see them, it reflects in their live performance, for sure, you know?
Right, right. And it's funny, because, like, when I started talking to those bands that you just mentioned, mm-hmm. I go to some of their shows as mm-hmm. well, and I just talk to them, you know, after their set or whatever, and... They all, not only are they uttering John Wayne and the Pain's name, as just like you guys are uttering theirs, they're talking about the same themes too. They're talking about, you know, going out and supporting each other and, you know, talking about, you know, referring to the music scene as a community and not just a scene.
Right.
And I find, I don't know, I really enjoy that concept of the community over a scene. And the other thing that some of those bands mentioned, They talk about how they don't want it to be so competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, and I don't know if you guys agree with me or not, but I feel like here in Minnesota and here in the Midwest, in general, there isn't a sense of competition between groups. I feel like it's more like a, you know, like you said, a community. Like everyone seems to be, you know, cool with what everyone else is doing and, you know, going out and supporting, you know, just supporting the music itself.
Yeah. In some strange way, it keeps the fans connected to us on a different level, too.
Yeah.
The fact that we're not, you know, talking shit on each other in the airwaves, you know, I mean, it kind of connects us all in a deeper level.
Right, right. And, you know, reggae music has always kind of been an underground music scene to begin with. Mm-hmm. And if you're talking shit about each other, if you know, it's... The underground music isn't going to thrive,
no.
you know, and the people who are, you know, outside of the... outside of the music, you know, those people who potentially could be turned on, they're going to be like, you know, they're just talking trash.
Mm-hmm.
So why should I listen to these you know, these guys? So
yeah. Put the positivity shine through.
Absolutely.
Everything else will fall into place, you know?
Yeah.
As long as you got a couple of good songs in your pocket.
Practice that message that we preach, you know, that's what we
For sure.
Send out love and unity. Yep.
Walk the walk.
Right. And you know what happens is then with this cohesive music scene, you have people that aren't even, or that are just glorified fans, people like Jim DuPont, who runs Jam Space.
Jam Space.
I mean, like,
Jimmy.
Speaking of, I got to talk to Jim. I'd like to have him on the show.
We should. But, get him on.
A lot to say.
Yeah. Well, but you know what? Like, he's able to, you know, he's one of those guys who, you know, he busses hump to get the music out to the masses, you know. He's posting videos, he's, you know, posting album streams, he's making sure that people have access to the music.
He's going to the shows, he's doing
it. He's out there
every night.
Right.
So one of us is playing every night, and he's there, if not two shows in the same night. I mean, he supports us like crazy.
Yeah.
He's even getting to a national level. I mean, it started out where he was just covering bands in our local Minneapolis area, but now I'm starting to see him sharing links about bands from different states.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that are somehow connected, but I mean, just bands that he supports, and
right.
It's pretty cool.
Which helps us. Exactly.
Yeah, helps us too. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah.
Well, exactly. You know, you have someone like that to sort of, you know, establish more of a network on a national level. Now all of a sudden, hey, it's not so hard to start booking tours.
You got it.
It's made it easier.
Place, you know?
You got it. The music industry is changing. This is
what's,
this is how it is changing. And people ask, you know.
You know, to be honest, and I'm, you know, I'm not in the business of blowing smoke, but, you know, I think you guys are kind of on that, you know, on the ground floor of what is kind of a Midwest reggae scene. You know, you guys are doing, you guys are going out and playing tons of shows.
Mm-hmm.
You've got support from the fans. You got support from Jam Space, MN Ska.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You've established kind of the playbook for what other bands want to do in this area, or, you know, even on a national level. So, you know, kudos to you.
That's just because we like doing it. I mean, I don't think that's the only reason, really. If I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't put the time and effort into it. I don't think these guys would either.
Right.
So.
Oh, is this truly just a passion project? Do you guys have day jobs, or is this the full-time gig?
This is a passion project.
This is what we do.
All we do.
Passion project, Burger King wages. You know what I'm saying? But it's cool. I'd rather get Burger King wages doing something I love.
Me and Terry have been couch surfing for the past couple months, man.
If you got a nice couch and you're listening, we're nice guys. We'll wash dishes.
A lot of bands ask, like me, like, how did you guys do it? How do you guys do it? And I just keep telling them, you know, I basically took everything that I had on my table and threw it off my table.
Sure.
I literally did. I mean, everything.
That's a big gamble. I mean, think about that.
You're right.
I mean, to go, I'm going to jump with both feet into this music project, and it could fail.
Mm-hmm.
It could be huge, but I'm just doing it because I love it. You know, that takes a lot of balls to do it, you know?
I mean, I'd just been living a certain lifestyle for so long, and then to be able to change it, to simplify your life to the point where you don't have anything, you know?
Right.
It's really interesting.
the minimalist lifestyle.
It is. A lot of people get scared about that. I mean, honestly.
And sure.
You know, and you start doing it, and it's not so bad.
Right.
And you get a raise all of a sudden. And
you know, like, you think of, I mean, a lot of factors boil in. You know, it's like you have the economy isn't the greatest. Mm. And even the music industry, you know, if this were like the mid to late 90s when, I mean, Sublime was like, you know, on top of the world mid 90s. If you guys, you know, are entering the scene at that time, you know, you guys are looking at MTV play, record deals, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
That's not the way things are.
You know? No.
That's the music industry is kind of, you know, scratch all that.
Yep.
So this is even more of a gamble.
Right.
You're not guaranteed, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just to reiterate what you said, it's like no guy's going to come see your show and say, boy, I'm going to make you a star.
Right.
So what we got to do is what we're doing, which is getting out there and busting our hump every day playing shows and trying to, like, you know, make that one-on-one contact with fans, and right. that's the only way I know how to move to the next level.
I felt like I spent my entire childhood watching either TV shows or, like, movies where it's like, yeah, like, the A&R guy with the yeah, ponytail right. is sitting yeah. in the back of the club going, hey, I really think that you boys will sell, you know, like, yeah, right. and, you know, like, here, sign on the dotted line and you guys are set for life. It's like, I mean, there were, like, there were those type of movies with, like, a dime a dozen back in, like, the 90s
it's
and
like
whatever.
The, it's like the Airheads movie. You ever
yeah.
seen that one?
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah exactly.
Like, that's a perfect thing for that, you know?
I believe there was a time when that could have happened, but mm-hmm. that's not today, so. Yeah.
Speaking of, like, what do you, like, you know, you guys are in the thick of it. You guys have kind of put it all on the line and are, you know, putting your hearts and soul into this music project. Where do you think that the music sort of industry is going? Like, what are the trends you're seeing and kind of where do you think that the future lies, you know, in like maybe the next 5 years as far as music's concerned?
Business side, it seems like the bands that need to go independent, they need to stay doing their own grind. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's heading that way.
Absolutely.
Mean, record labels aren't offering deals anymore. They're not offering distribution. They're not offering any of that, really. I mean, they're offering you a loan up and you have to pay that back. Yeah. And they kind of now it's just going that way.
And the other thing I've noticed too, I think, is what labels, the major labels end up doing is they end up drafting up contracts where it's not only do they get like the rights and stuff to music and stuff, mm-hmm. but they get rights to merchandising. And basically now that's like the livelihood is the touring, the selling of CDs on the road, you know, and the selling of tickets. Mm-hmm. They now are trying to write into contracts that they get a portion of that, which
We were just talking about that.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, it's going back to where people have to work again. It's going back to where, you know, back in the day when bands wanted to get made or get seen, they did all that footwork. They walked into the radio stations. They went into the clubs. They went to the DJs and asked them to spin their tracks. They had to go out and they had to get what they wanted. Kinda, and it's, you know.
Sorry to cut you off, but it's kind of a beautiful thing going on. I've been talking about this for 10 years plus about how the industry was going one way. And all of a sudden now with the advent of communication being so quick and everything. Now I believe the industry is going away of the old 70s ways when the bands in the 70s could be a band and actually be a working band versus being owned
or a studio creation or something.
By say a studio or a corporation that just creates these bands.
Yeah.
Now, well, and they don't even really sign the band when they do it. They would sign, you know, maybe John, and then they would hire us as his band. You know, I mean, that doesn't work for
us. Sounds whack, dude, to me. We want to be a band's band.
Yeah. To see the passion in our shows is a lot different than seeing a bunch of hired guns, you know?
Yeah, most definitely.
And then as far as, like, I think the music itself, as far as what the music trends are, reggae all day.
Reggae is just, like, on the rise, you know?
Yeah. And not necessarily roots reggae either. It's, like, you know, the hybrid reggae mixed with rock, funk,
like,
maybe jam
like
band.
Like dirty
kind of
reggae.
Absolutely. I've seen a lot of... Yeah, different mixtures. You see a lot of reggae soul bands popping up now.
Yep.
You see rock steady rearing its head again.
Yeah. Yeah.
These styles, like soul and rock steady that were really popular back in the 60s, are now all of a sudden, you know, they're coming back again in full force. Now, they're not sweeping the nation or anything, but they're becoming, you know, it's really the foundations of this underground scene. I don't know. Warms my heart.
Yeah, it's
exciting. I'm a fan of the music.
It's exciting. Yeah,
it's cool. You see people like the Expendables out there that are kind of even pushing the realms of reggae. You know.
Yeah, they're mixing it with like 80s like metal guitar.
With two guitars doing melodic lines over reggae grooves.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's just neat to see people coming out and branching off doing their own thing.
Mm-hmm. Even another example, I don't know if you've heard of the Agrolites.
Yeah, they're amazing.
They're one of our favorite bands, and you know, bringing it back in time, but also throwing a modern style on it, I think is a really cool.
Those guys are phenomenal.
If you haven't heard them, you got to check their album out.
They're so cool. Their old one's cool too.
And then the organ player Roger Rivas, he has a new project out called The Bullets.
Oh, really?
Where they basically incorporate reggae into sort of like an oldies sound.
Cool. Yeah.
So this sort of this 50s oldies sound in the reggae, and it's beautiful.
It
really is.
It's real cool.
I got I'm a member of like the Jump Up Records CD of the Month club
or
whatever.
Label?
Yeah, Chuck Wren runs that that label. It's more of an import label anyway, but he threw in the Bullets' new album, and I can't stop playing it. Cool. It's good. It's good
awesome.
Stuff.
Yeah, that's funny you mention that, because like as of the last year or so, we've been listening to a lot of that, and a lot of old school rocksteady, and we went on tour with the Melodians. We were blessed to be able to kind of go on a small leg with those guys, and they're from the 60s rock.
Yeah, they wrote them Rivers of Babylon. They wrote that song.
Yeah.
The Melodians, and we got to watch those guys at a few shows, and very inspirational.
Big time.
So have you guys, you mentioned the Melodians. Are there any other bands where you guys have shared a bill with that were, you know, bands that you had been listening to and that were inspirations to you prior to that? I mean, like, do you have any examples of anyone else you played with?
We opened up for Pepper a few years back. That was cool. They're like more of a rock version of reggae, but they're still cool. And then like, that was real cool. That was like a sold out show at the Fine Line. We actually shared the stage with Eric Wilson from Sublime.
Nice.
He played bass when Chuck hurt his wrist on this tour we were doing with his other band. Yeah. His other band is Stonewing, which is like straight rock and roll pretty much. Yeah. That was cool. We were playing like a couple Sublime covers. They might not even be covers anymore. And then also like, we've shared the stage with, members of Slightly Stupid. They're actually the horn players from Stupid on our new album.
Oh yeah, really?
So that's the album.
I know you guys had some horn players. I wasn't sure who they were, but
C Money, De La, and OG from Slightly Stupid.
Cool. Speaking of, I've got your new record in my hand. Follow Through is the name of it. You guys want to tell me about kind of what went into making it, and you know, basically what's this album all about?
We started that project as a 3-piece band with a different drummer, and we had more of a clear idea of what we wanted. I guess when we went in there, we had set songs, so the recording process was smoother than it would have been if it was just like hired guns or something.
Right.
But went in and did it actually at the same studio Terry was the in-house drummer at 17th Street Studio in Costa Mesa.
Oh, cool.
And it went good. Things changed. We got a new drummer. And at the time, it seemed like a painful transition, but things are way better now.
Care to share any details? What went on there? How come you guys had to fall in?
It's a good question. It's cool because some people are road dogs and some people aren't, and some people can't handle the road very good.
The lifestyle that we live isn't for everybody. That's just one thing that we can say.
It's not easy, though, and I can't even blame the guy, It's just, either you're meant to be on the road or you're not,
Right. Well, and I think that's sort of a universal theme amongst most bands.
Right.
It's, sometimes life just kind of gets in the way.
And yep.
If that's the case, then so be it. I know, like, the band I play in, we had to take basically the entire year off because most of the band had stuff going on, marriages, babies, being born, all this stuff. So we just kind of were like, well... We'd do ourselves an injustice if we tried to keep limping through while everyone was doing their stuff.
Right.
No
doubt. Yeah.
One of the hardest things about doing what we do is not even necessarily keeping the music going, and actually, even just playing the music, but trying to keep all of our paths on a linear direction.
What
I mean? So it's like if we try to keep, it makes it easier when everyone in your band is kind of heading in a general direction, or is feeling the same vision.
Right.
In some way,
yeah.
When one person in the band kind of finds their own path in any sense, or finds that their direction is going to change, which is awesome, but that also affects a band a great deal,
Yeah, so, yeah, totally.
So you got to be willing to commit to the other people and pretty much set your wants and your life aside, if that makes sense, I mean,
it's a total team. It's a team mentality.
Yeah. The music is the overall. That's our first thought, is that's what's most important. And, next would be, for me, would be the band members. It would be the music, then them, make sure that we're always connected and, sorry to whatever else is going on, whether it be a girlfriend or whether it be a wife or something, I mean, I love you, but I got to go play.
I was just dealing with that this morning,
I mean, that's
Speaking of, like, what's your guys' status? Are you guys all married? Do you have kids? What's the scoop? Why don't we just kind of go around the horn?
Yeah, not married, but I have a little one.
Yeah, but we got the no baby clause now in effect, so.
Yeah.
It's joking.
No babies.
Just yeah. don't make any babies. Come on.
Yeah.
I got a
girl. But it's so fun.
Yeah, right? Jesus, yeah.
Process.
The conception.
Yes. How about you, John?
I got a girlfriend, and even just this morning, she was like crying that I'm always gone, you know? Like literally crying, you know? And it's like, it breaks my heart to see her like that. But, you know,
like, sounds like
I don't know what else to do but do
it
this.
It sounds like a cliched kind of 70s song. It's right? Like, sorry, baby, I got to take off on the road, you know?
It's not easy, but, you know, there's a price that's got to be paid.
I think,
you know?
I think Bob Seger wrote a song about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, right. It's the same story. Oh, yeah. I'm not even kidding.
I'm very single.
Nice.
And, yeah.
That one. Terry is
I'm divorced because of music, so you know that's just pretty much how it goes. You know, no, it doesn't suck. Man. It's great, but
it is good. Yeah, yeah. It is good. Very it's good single. For us. Yeah.
Like it that way.
So yeah, all you single ladies out there on Fancy Pants Gangsters,
yeah,
all
right.
of you, all of you single ladies out there listening to this, you know, Scotty Z is single as well.
Yeah, got a free and clear percussion section going
yeah.
on.
Oh yeah,
we got to keep our minds clear.
It's not free, baby.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a free lunch for sure.
Yeah, we should you know try to keep our minds clear. You know.
Yeah, yeah absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, like I said before, the only way I know how to move to the next level is to keep doing exactly what we're doing and improving that game that we got going.
Mm-hmm.
And that means, you know, some things gotta be sacrificed. And, you know, the family life probably isn't much of a reality right now, you know?
Sure.
Oh, no.
Well, you know, on top of, like, all the stuff. So, you know, writing the music, performing the music, making sure you're on the road, you know, doing all that stuff. Nowadays, more so than probably in a long time in music, bands have to be their own marketing department. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, yeah.
You got to put on all sorts of different hats. You got to be the promoter. You got to be the guy, you know, out there, you know, making sure the word gets out. What have you guys done? What, you know, kind of what tips, what tricks of the trade have you guys done as far as, you know, promoting yourselves in the band?
Let John Wayne do everything.
We pretty much, our whole motto is, let's just let John do everything, and then we'll you know, soak up the fruits of his labor.
That sounds like a good plan.
We all got our own roles. We've got our roles.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, you know, depending on what's going on, they may or may not change, but we do all have our own roles, and we do definitely take on a lot of extra weight.
Sure.
When it comes to doing a show,
it's like we don't have designated roles. We just all know what has to be done, and so we just do it. And if you see that one person's real busy or they're tired or sluggish that day, and maybe they're sore, you know, you never know what's going on.
Right.
Help them out, grab their stuff, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just kind of do it. I don't.
Yeah, if there was just one set role and like, no, don't touch that. I got this. Like, nothing would probably get done.
Right.
No.
Yeah. It's not like planning a heist where you need a weapons expert, then you need like the face and you need the,
I mean, I do all the booking myself, I guess. So that thing, I guess, gets kind of taken up. But if one of the guys got a suggestion for a show or something, you know, I'll take the tip and like, you know, Scotty's helped us get shows in other places. Same with Chucky or Terry even. And my motto is throw a bunch of shit up against the wall and see what sticks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pretty much, because it really comes down to being that simple, like getting out there making cold calls to clubs that have no idea who the fuck you are.
Yeah.
Like, they don't know who the hell these guys are. What a weird band name, John Wayne and the Pain. Who the hell is that? Like, I've honestly had to, like, I've made probably, like, you know, 10,000 calls and, like, 20,000 emails in the last, like, you know, 2 years of booking. I mean, that might be a little bit.
So is that what you just occupy your daytime hours with?
Dude, oh man, let me tell you about John. So John's schedule, I'm really not joking. It's pretty amazing. Like this dude gets up, you know, roughly early, maybe 9:30, 10 a.m. usually. And from about the 10 a.m. till 4 or 5 p.m., he's on the phone or on the computer, like just all day long and back and forth with promoters or club owners and doing negotiations and just, I mean, he runs it like a business. This is a business to him and to all the rest of us. But John is just like, big ups to John. I mean, he doesn't get enough.
We left this guy alone in one room for a day and he booked a whole tour for us.
Wow. So basically your tip to everyone is to have a John on the team.
Yeah. Just get out. You got to put in the work and nobody's going to do it for you. Like I came off like a pretty hard relapse before where I was all messed up on drugs and like things sucked. My life sucked. Nobody wanted to be around me. Chuck is the only person who really, you know, stuck by my side. Mm-hmm. And like, I was like at a point where nobody's going to do this for me. Right. Nobody's going to help me. You know, like we got to do it ourselves and we got to do it now.
I really admire that, that sort of motivation, that sort of thinking, because mm-hmm. I feel like in general, because I'm all about promoting, you know, ska and reggae here in the Midwest and nationally. But like, I feel like when it comes down to it, no one is going to do you any favors.
Right.
No. You have to make sure to, you have to kind of forge your own destiny. You know, mm-hmm. you know what needs to be done.
Yeah.
You just got to go out and do it.
Big time.
And I feel like that's kind of where you guys are coming from.
Big time.
And to see you guys playing all these, you know, tours, seeing you all over the internet, hearing from all these different bands, you know, oh, have you talked to John Wayne the Pain? And it's like, you know, after a while, I'm like, Jesus Christ, I got to get a hold of these John Wayne the Pain guys, because that's all I hear about, you know? So, I mean, like, I guess to speak to other bands in the, you know, in the Midwest and in the, you know, that listen to this show, I think they need to take a page out of your playbook and kind of just come from that thing. No one is going to do you any favors. Yep. Go out and get it done.
You got to do it yourself.
Yeah. Yep.
That's the only way I know. Unless you're like, you know, James Brown coming out of like South Minneapolis somewhere. Like, I don't even think James Brown could have someone do it for him these days, you know?
Right, no.
He'd still have to do it himself,
yeah,
you know?
He'd still have to do all the legwork.
Yeah. I mean, when we're talking to people on the internet, when we're doing promotion and whatnot and keeping up with fans, it's not somebody else talking to them. It's us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When we're mm-hmm. talking to people on all, you know, our website or on Facebook, MySpace, you name it, that's John, that's Chuck, me and Terry talking to them. It's not
right.
some, you know, some cat that works for us or, you know, so we really think that it's, you know, it's essential that we put in that time and try to stay connected, you know, 100%.
Yeah, totally, totally, totally. The other thing is that I know is, as a fan, like, so as a musician, you go, going out and doing that hard work is what really pays off. And then as a fan, if a band is doing that hard work and they're, you know, when you're going out and talking to people yourselves, like you're the face of the you guys are your own, you know, faces of the band.
Yep.
Fans love that. You know what I mean? Like yeah. everyone's favorite, if you think of your favorite band, wouldn't you want to just have a beer with them and talk with them, you know
yep.
what I mean? And that's
yep.
kind of, actually, that's kind of why, part of the reason I started this show is so I could have a beer with musicians that I enjoy. But, you know what I mean? Like, that's exactly what they want. Mm-hmm. They want, you know, they want to have contact,
yep.
direct contact with the band. They don't want to have, you know, check out what the, you know, what a label has decided to put on their website
sure.
or
yeah.
whatever, you know what I mean?
If you yeah. comment on our Facebook page, I will comment back and say, what up, you know?
Or one of us will, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys have a pretty strong following on the Facebook page. I saw you guys had like maybe over 3,000 people following,
yeah.
which is like, I mean, I don't know what that means typically, but I mean, that seems like a lot because
well,
I look
cool
around
thing,
at other bands and that's they don't have that sort of following.
Yeah, the cool thing about Facebook is if you look at a band page, nobody, you can't go and request those fans. You can send suggestions, but that means fans that actually clicked on and liked what you
right.
got cooking. So that is a cool representation of what your actual true fan base is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and it's cool because especially bands like you, if you write on your guys' Facebook, you guys are going to respond to them.
Yeah.
Directly. It's like,
yeah.
you know, no middleman, no, like, you guys aren't, you know, on some private island somewhere where no one can get at you, you know?
Yeah, right.
You guys are right there in the thick of it, right there in,
yep.
you know, in the group of fans. So I think as a music lover, that's kind of what, that's what you want. You want
yep.
from your band, your
yeah.
favorite bands.
Yeah, it's a crazy
well,
like, thing.
Yeah, I mean, even when I was growing up watching my favorite bands, that was the key for me, you know, if I could have a minute with the bass player or something, just to
yeah.
chit-chat and talk to him how sick he was.
Yeah, that is something.
Music, man.
That's worth
without being too overly annoying, you know. But no, that was really cool. And so what I do is, like, when people that I don't really know talk to me, I'm just like, you know, shake their hand, ask them who they are, and maybe suggest going out for a beer or whatever, you know, and you know, see what's up.
Yeah, we actually know a shit ton of those fans' names at first and last names.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
You were asking about tips. I would say try to embrace your fans and try to learn people's names, because there's nothing like that person. You walk up to them and you say, hey, Jack or John or Joe, Jenny, whatever your name is.
Right.
They just look at you like, wow, you remembered my name out of all these people. So, I mean, it's our fans are amazing, and when we talk to them, we feed off of them. We can't, when we're on stage, if we didn't have them there, we wouldn't do anything. So
right, we wouldn't be shit. We would not be shit.
Yeah, we would not be anything at all.
And we wouldn't do it if we didn't, you know, honestly. I mean, I love doing it, but the fans are really what keep me going personally, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, I think that's really cool. That personal connection, obviously fans long for it, and it's got to feel good for you guys too, just to be like, yeah, you know, you make new friends. I know, talking to different bands, I've made friends that way. I talk, you know, just going to shows, you know, you find those people that are really there for the right reasons.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And all of a sudden, hey, you got a friend for life right there.
Yeah.
You know,
for
that
real.
They, you know, maybe they don't, you know, maybe they meet you as, oh, big reggae band stars, you know, like, but all of a sudden they become, oh no, that's just John. That's Chuck.
Yeah,
you know, like they're real friends. So I think that's pretty cool. Now, John, you just handed me like a huge list of tour dates you guys are on, and it is just amazing. You have a tour coming up here very soon. Why don't you tell the good people about where you're going and what this tour is about?
Hey, what's the name of this tour?
It's called the Midwest Coast Tour.
Nice.
We should have put Midwest East Coast Tour, because we're going all over the Midwest. To the east. West Coast, to the East Coast, to a few places up in the mountains. So we're going to route, you know, down south in the Midwest, Colorado, Northern California, and then the Pacific Northwest, and then even, you know, almost to the East Coast, and then the East Coast of Florida as well.
Yeah, to me, it looks like you guys, just based on your tour dates, it looks like you guys are kind of going from the Midwest area, kind of going through the plains and up through Montana, Colorado, and then, you know, around the Northwest, then going down through California, and then kind of coming all the way all the way over to Florida.
Yeah, right.
Somehow.
Yeah, we got I was able to book just enough dates in Florida to make it worth it. You know what I mean? So
yeah, yeah. Cool. So for those lucky Floridians, where can they find you guys down there?
Actually, we've got a number of shows booked from Jupiter Island.
New
Smyrna Beach should be cool.
Largo.
Largo, Florida, which is right outside, like, kind of close to Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
And then also in Vero Beach. So the East Coast and the West Coast, the Gulf side of Florida, too.
Right, okay.
Which is cool. It's funny, some bands like had actually heard of us that were like, whoa, man, we want to play with you guys. I'm like, cool, let's make it happen. I didn't even know you knew who we were.
Seriously, like, that's kind of how tours come together, I've noticed.
Sure.
And what people, you know, and I don't know if that kind of takes kind of the glamour away from what, you know, or the mystery away from how these tours get booked. It is. It's like, hey, I've kind of heard of you guys. Come play here, you know, like, or hey, you know, if you play here, we'll come up and play with you guys.
Yep.
You know,
that's what we do a lot.
You know, a lot of that going on.
A lot of swapping shows.
Lots of swapping shows. I mean, and it's really neat to have that happen. I mean, they come to our market and we give them the opportunity to headline the show, and they get in front of a totally different market than they've ever been in front of before, and we go down there and they show the same love, and then it's not even just trading the shows, we become friends as bands, and we go there and we stay at their place, we don't stay at the hotel, you know.
It's a valuable connection to make.
You've got
a place to stay, you've got a show to play, you've got you know, new friends that actually genuinely care about, you know, your well-being, and they're not just strangers.
That's the beauty of the road, all the friends, friends.
That's what I was just gonna say.
Nice.
The funniest thing is, too, we get a lot of suggestions from our fans of places to play that we haven't been. Like, hey, they'll post on our page, like, hey, you guys should come down to Boston. You guys should come down to, you know, come down to Texas. You know, come play my town.
Right.
And you know, some of the times we'll actually take their word for it. We'll be like, hey, yeah, we'll try to route it in our next tour. So that's usually how we do it.
Two big reasons on the national tip is musicbailout.net.
Okay.
And then thepeer.org, which is like two reggae rock kind of sites, but it's mixed in with, you know, any kind of style that even closely resembles reggae, you know. And like, there's, you know, people know about us on the national scene because they've reviewed our album, and we were featured in Relics magazine. That's another one that helped. So you can like not have even played these cities and people know about you. It's kind of cool.
that's got to feel good as a musician, especially those, you know, like you put in all these countless hours. It's a thankless job to promote your own stuff. You know what I mean? Because you put in all this work and you don't see the rewards right away.
You don't see right away.
But it's not instant gratification at all.
Not instant, no. Not at all.
So, but you know, it's one of those things where it's like, wow, if I just keep putting, you know, you like, it's like, think of it as putting money in the bank, you know, yep. Finally, all of a sudden it's going to pay off at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, getting some of that national attention is definitely some of that payoff.
Hell yeah.
The friendships are better than money most of the time.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just, I don't know. It's one of the craziest things for me was the first tour that I did with these guys, this last June when we were on the road for about a month.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first real tour that I'd done, you know, actually just being on the road for that amount of time. And the craziest part was that everywhere we went, every city that we went to, there was people that would just bring us in, like we were family. You know, mm-hmm. like when we were in Colorado, we stayed with a family there, and they let us stay in their home.
Wow.
And, you know, and Albuquerque, I mean, you name it, all over, everywhere we went, it was like, please come stay with us.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, it was like we'd known them forever, and they just connected with the music that deeply that they were willing to bring us into their home, you know?
Yep.
And that was pretty crazy for me to see that go down, you know?
That is funny, all the love we found on the road, tons of it.
Yeah.
Well, now, I feel like, and maybe it's just reggae music in general, maybe you guys can share your thoughts. Why do people connect with it so well? Like what, and maybe you can share personally why the music speaks to you guys,
mm-hmm.
but you know, like it's very clear that people really seem to deeply connect with reggae in general.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think Bob Marley was originally saying it's like a music for the people, you know, mm-hmm. it's people music.
Mm-hmm.
It was like rebel music, you know, originally. Maybe rebelling against whatever like the main machine is, which generally I see as like top 40 radio.
Sure. Nowadays, that's just me.
Personally, that's just me. You know, I can't speak for all those pop artists out there. You know, they're doing
good.
I'm
sure you hurt Lady Gaga's feelings.
Yeah, right. I'm sure she really gives a shit.
I'm sure she listens to this show.
So anyway, you know, I think it comes from, you know, maybe people that have struggled and people that have triumphed over that struggle. And I would like to think that our music personally embodies that, you know, at least in the lyrics. And hopefully the musical part of it that shines through as well. I don't think anybody, you know, that's real, that's on this planet, hasn't struggled with something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think reggae music's a good way to come free through that, you know. Like maybe feel something new and feel something different that's a positive message, you know.
Yeah, definitely positive. Lots of positivity in the music. How about the rest of you guys?
Man, I think that people connect with our music partly because of just how connected we are with each other and kind of when we're out there playing the music. We live off of vibes and feelings, you know?
Right.
So when we're in front of those people, I mean, we know if they've had a bad day, if they've had a good day. I mean, really like just getting a hold of the lyrics and everybody finds a place in their heart where it works for them, you mm-hmm. know, where they connect to that. And it may be about recovery or it might be about being on the road or it might be about anything, but they have something they grasp onto and our music reflects our daily lives and how we've come to where we're at today. And so the people see that. They don't see a fake. They don't see someone sitting down on a keyboard and making some retarded, you know, pop beat.
and then
throwing some stupid lyrics over it about, you know, I smoked some pot today. I got drunk last night. My life sucks. You
know,
I
mean, poker face or something.
Yeah, poker face. You know, I mean, it's not to say anything bad. It's awesome. She's, you know, we're not talking shit, but.
You do hear a lot of reference.
I don't think you have to worry about.
Well, no, yeah, we're not worried about that, but it's just, it's the music is real. It's not, we're not sitting down going, hey, what can we write today that's going to sell to the masses? We're just like the other day, we're sitting there, we're talking about writing a song, and the only thing that came to mind was I can't think of anything to write today. Like, I mean, you know, that, you know, it's just that's where how we do it. It's
sure.
It's real life. It's not just some thought up bullshit.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, how do you guys write your music? What is that process like for you guys? Like, where does it
painful.
Start?
Usually we get in a good fist fight first.
Is it really organic? I mean, is it just kind of like, let's just jam and we'll come up with something? Or is it, you know, does everyone bring something to the table and, hey, I've got an idea for a song? How does it all work?
Well, I mean, I wrote a lot of lyrics, you know.
A lot of times John, too, comes to the table with some lyrics and an outline because a lot of times he's writing lyrics to a beat or a rhythm in his head. And he comes to us with an outline, and we just take a look and take a listen and kind of give our
our two cents and come up with a rhythm for what he's come up with as the rhythm section, me and Scotty and Terry. And that's kind of how it goes down, basically. I mean, and then sometimes we'll be in the studio just getting creative, and we'll come up with the rhythm already. And John will be like, oh, what do you guys got there? And then sometimes it comes that way. Mm-hmm. So it's gone both ways.
There was a certain song that Chucky wrote on stage with our drummer that was like, just because I broke guitar strings on stage.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that song got written.
You had to vamp and do something.
Yep. Yeah. And they needed to keep the vibe flowing, because if we quit playing, everybody would walk out of the club probably, you know.
Which is actually on the new album. It's called John Wayne's Body, if you guys want to listen to it.
It's about the actor.
Yeah. Yep. And, I mean, that's one way. The other cool thing we've been doing lately is, you know, taking existing songs we have and, like, slapping another song in the middle of it. Yeah. That's like what Yonder Mountain String Band used to do. Yeah. They'd take a song and then segue into, like, a cover and then segue back into their song. And, like, 20 minutes later, you got, like, finished product, you know?
That's cool, because you're still flexing those creative muscles.
Yeah.
You know? Like, even though it's a cover, but you're kind of weaving it into something that you've already created.
Yep. And I think people appreciate that. The other cool thing is Terry, he can tell you about this too, our new percussionist, mixed with Scotty, our new drummer, by the way, which makes us suck a whole lot less having a tight percussion section. We're definitely sucking less these days, which is good. We've come up with some Latin kind of style stuff where we'll break down existing songs and like go off in a complete tangent where it's mainly just like a very minimal bass line and then like just drums and percussion.
Kind of like that non-traditional reggae where all of a sudden we're breaking out into a jam where it's all of a sudden jammy.
Just improv.
And it's not just a reggae bit anymore.
Sure. We've really, especially since me and Terry have hopped on this project, we've really had a motivation to experiment a lot more. You know, I mean, and there's always experimentation, but really in the last few months, we've been trying to be open to a lot more genres. We've been experimenting with funk a lot more, experimenting with Latin styles, and we've also been experimenting with some more of electronic influences. Like me and Chucky have been messing around with a lot of dubstep. You know, he just purchased a bass synthesizer, so we've been trying to incorporate electronic styles and you know, dub reggae. You know, handle our own effects and you know, I mean, just pushing the limits, you know, of our own comfort levels.
And kind of appealing to that Midwest jam bass sort of.
Yeah, exactly.
And really, honestly, that's my influences was, you know, jam bands, you know, back in the day.
Sure. Big Woo.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, there's always been a large Midwestern jam scene. And it's funny that, you know, it's like, once again, reggae is able to weave its way into that music as well. You know, it's one of those things where it can interface with anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I heard some kind of like Americana band the other night at this festival we were at. I can't remember the name of the band, but they were like, you know, all like roots American kind of music. And then all of a sudden there's like a reggae song in the middle of it. And it wasn't that good, actually. But it was still cool they were making the attempt.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, I was cool. I was like, well, that's what's up, dude. Why not? You know?
That's the thing. Like, I mean, I've been listening to reggae for years and years and years. I mean, going on 20-plus years of just listening to it and embodying what I – like, we all are an example of our influences.
Yeah.
We all – whatever we're playing is what we've listened to before. I mean, it's just an amalgamation of what we've all have listened to, and now we're regurgitating back what
you guys have, you know, like a Sublime influence. You guys have an influence of, you know, these different bands. What are some influences that might be kind of out of left field that people might not?
Probably Bad Brains.
Yeah.
John's really secretly a bluegrass head. You know,
yeah, I have a bluegrass side project. Yep, that is an influence. Yep.
Ooh. What are some of your like favorite types of you know, like bluegrass and that sort of stuff? Like what bands?
I like Yonder Mountain, but I like Del McCurry Band, which does more of a traditional style. Then there's newer style bands like Split Lip Rayfield. They're like a three-piece reggae, bluegrass band that's like awesome. With like they have a gas tank bass.
Nice.
And like, I mean, that's a big influence. Leftover Crack, band.
Yeah,
like punk band. Yeah,
they're like they mix like metal with like ska and like, dude, they're amazing.
Yeah,
dude.
They've got like this crust punk sound, but they've also got, you know, like ska influences.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about guys that have like lived the life. They are they're like the message behind their music is lived out in every fabric of their being. Like they're like so anti-establishment. Sure. They just like squat in buildings out in New York. You know, they like play like it's.
That's one.
Yeah.
I mean, but then roots reggae too. It's just that we don't really do roots reggae. We do our version of it, and we'll play the one drop, which is like the traditional roots reggae beat. Mm-hmm. But then we're going to throw something else like out of left field, you know?
I've heard a lot of bands say, you know, they've really enjoyed the fact that we do go from, like, we've covered songs like Gumbo, Fish, you know, to Grateful Dead, and all of a sudden do it reggae style, you know? I've had fans actually really enjoy that.
Well, because, you know, I think most people enjoy sort of like a reggae feel anyway, and then when you throw in a tune that they recognize, it's like catnip, you know what I mean? Like, or you know, they always do it.
And that sells right now. Even Easy Star All Stars, you probably know who that is.
Yeah,
they're throwing out those like different versions of like some of the best selling albums of all time done in reggae, like Radiohead's OK Computer done all reggae. They did Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Dub Band. You know,
Dub Side of the Moon.
Yeah, was that, or were they the ones that did Most Dub? Instead of Most Deaf, which is another example of another
reggae
style of music that lends itself well to reggae.
Yep.
Like, so they basically took like Most Deaf's like hip hop like music, and they just put his rapping like to some of this great like dub beats, you know? And it's like, wow, that fits so like it almost seems like it was made exactly for it. You know, it's very. A lot of uses. A lot of uses for reggae music.
Big time.
We're in a world of experimentation, you know, because everything's been done. We gotta just like take as many spices as we can, as many elements as we can, and try to fuse them together. And you know, that's the world we're living in.
Totally. You know, where can listeners kind of find you guys online? I know, I mean, you don't have to go very far because I see you guys like all over the place. But what would you say would be like some of the main sites that people can check out your music?
Go to our website. I mean, it's J-O-N Wayne A-N-D The Pain, and that's PAIN.com. And, you know, it's got our full, like, tour schedule and, like, all the little, like, you know, blog stuff we do and all the other bullshit.
But, check us out on Facebook and MySpace, too.
Yeah, like I said, if you hit us a message on our band page on Facebook, I'll say what up, too. So
nice.
You know.
And you guys have this new album. Now, this came out this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Follow Through.
Yep.
And where can people find this?
CD? Locally, you know, Electric Fetus.
Cheapo.
You know, yeah, Cheapo Records and all that. Nationally on our website, really. That website I just told you, J-O-N Wayne and The Pain.
Or I know you can download it on download it on iTunes.
On iTunes?
Yeah. You get it on iTunes too, yeah.
Cool. And you guys, when's the tour? When's the tour officially kick off? What's the first
We play August 30th at People's in Des Moines with the Dirty Heads. We're opening up for the Dirty Heads.
So coming up here, you know, guys, the time just kind of flew by here.
Yeah, right? I know. It's good.
I feel like I barely got to scratch your guys' lottery ticket. Now, when you guys come back from tour and you maybe have some new music with the new members here, by all means, come on back.
Let's do it.
To the show.
Yeah, let's do it.
We'll dig deeper into to John Wayne and the Pain.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it for this week's Flyover Ska Show. I've been your host, Courtney Close, for my new friends.
Yes.
John Wayne and the Pain.
Yes, I.
And thanks,
Courtney. Appreciate it.
Up.
And we are all saying skank on.
Skank on.
Skank on.
Peace.
Have you ever had time to rewind and look back on your life? The nights you could have sworn you got it right. All the fears and confidence you had, it floated all away. It turns out shooting up only shot me way down. It's hard to think about tomorrow without that shit in my life, but it's harder to continue living there. And the years are moving faster. Trying to move past her. All the booze I used to take. moved into my mother's duplex up in northeast of Lowry, hiding underneath the bed from the police. All the nights I took a flight and borrowed those cars from those fryards. The keys in the ignition there for me. No more need to steal a scam for rides over to the south side, 'cause those brutos never cared about my life. Said I wouldn't write a love song for her, but my hands are tied. Just can't seem to get that señorita off my mind. And the years I'm moving faster, trying to move past her. All the booze I used to take away, all the things I said I threw away, in the bed I made endlessly. I get to sleep, but not these days. Yeah, move away from it, my tail between my legs, 'cause speedballs could not heal my self-made hell. To all the scars upon my arms, tonight I crawled out of the bar. There's no more flying signs off Highway 35. Move away from me, my tail between my legs, and all those speedballs could not heal my self-made head. I moved into my mother's duplex up in northeast of Lowry, hiding underneath the bed from the police.